right, 11 a.m. this morning out at Winter Park, kind of a big day. Paul Skeens is back in town.
You said it's Kids Day there?
It is Kids Day. They're so they lucky. Have 7,000 kids on a field trip.
Do they know what they're going to see?
They're going to have probably 8,000 to 9,000 people that will come. And some of them will leave after the fourth inning when Skeens is done.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pirates' number one pick, a guy who has not given up a run in 12 and two-thirds of his AAA career with 27 strikeouts. He has thrown 34 pitches. His last time out, 34 pitches were over 100 miles an hour. I was there the night that Hunter Green made his AAA debut. Remember the flamethrower that's in the Reds organization?
Yep.
And now he couldn't find the plate. He had no compass. But like 7 of his first 10 pitches were 101 or higher. So people have to keep an eye on the radar gun on the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul Skeens is pitching today. Saw him last night during Indianapolis's BP. He doesn't appear to be as muscle-bound as he was with LSU.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a big dude. And I know the next question will be, what about
Olivia?
What's she like?
She will be in town beginning on Thursday.
Yeah. Get the zoo ready.
Okay.
So Livy Dunn will be at Warner Park, not to interact with y'all.
No.
But does she want to come to Oscars?
But to support her boyfriend.
She can be here for a start?
She will be. Well, so that's the question I asked yesterday.
Yeah. She's going to be here. You think she'd be here on the day?
I don't know.
Is there something going on with the
team? Well, you know, she's in demand.
She will be back in Omaha. I wonder if she will go to the zoo. Because as she told me, I really like your zoo.
It's nice.
Like, I own the zoo.
You think she'll stick around and go to the spring game?
I just own a penguin.
Maybe she'll go to the spring game.
Doubtful.
Yeah. Go to Oscars. She can be in the
round
table. Check
out the gymnastic facilities.
I was trying to coach up the people. I said, wait till you see this. It's an experience, man. It is something that you'll be like, what is... So...
She making it public that she'll be here?
So somebody told me yesterday that she went on Facebook and she goes, I'm off to Omaha.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I did that a couple years ago, too. Didn't draw the same response. I'm like, wait, you're leaving?
You didn't have a bunch of 14-year-old boys following you around, wanting to show you that they follow you on the gram.
I don't want Chris Hansen showing up here, so I'm not taking that bait.
Would be a little creepy, I guess.
I'm looking forward to when she recognizes me.
Hey. Like, oh, I remember you.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, what? How would you feel? She goes, Gary.
She goes, Daddy.
Whoa. All kinds of feels there.
I'm glad that the Storm Chasers have leaned into promoting an opposing player.
They should.
Because if you have time today, he's only going to pitch probably 4 or 5 innings. Get yourself out to Warner Park. You get to hear all the screaming kids. You get to hear the SpongeBob SquarePants, you know, that kind of stuff.
So
the kids respond.
Shut up and dance.
Yeah, all of the kids' interaction songs.
Party in the USA.
But take off a little time, go out to Warner Park, and you got to watch him pitch because, I mean, he's the next big thing before hopefully we don't ever go under the knife.
That's true.
I think it's a big deal. And I know, I think I saw him sign an autograph yesterday. He's been known since even at LSU, but in pro ball, he signs a lot of autographs. Like, he's not going to sign today because he's pitching, but he does sign a lot of autographs.
So when I was doing PA there a while back, you see...
Are we talking about the Eric Hosmer playing first base
days? No, this wasn't that far back. But, and you were at the ballpark, I think, during this week, if I remember correctly, but... One of the guys that, and I don't, maybe it's more of his story, but he was coming through rehabbing, was when Josh Hamilton was playing. And that was cool. An imposing looking guy, has a major league body, just all of those things that you're not used to seeing on a consistent basis. To me, during that year that I was there, that was probably the most significant. Now, afterwards, there were a lot of other players that followed. I would have loved to have seen Bobby Witt Jr. play on a consistent basis with the Storm Chasers. But then there was on the 11th hour, Clayton Kershaw was scheduled. And they got pulled on the day. So this one, without question, even though I saw him last year, what was cool is between you, myself, and Connor, when we got to be on the field during on-field reporting, you could go in the tunnels, you could see what those guys are doing in between innings. That was kind of the fascinating thing to watch Paul Skeens. as soon as he got off the mound in that next half inning, how he's continuing to keep the cardio up, keep his routine up, watching little things like that. Maybe I got a little bit more lost into that and not enough about the performances that I was seeing. Now you look at another season of development and what he's going to project to be as a big league arm. This would probably be up there as far as one of the more impressive opportunities to see a guy that's just, he's destined to be a stud and a star.
And the weather's going to be great. So you get a chance to watch him pitch today. I don't know how much longer he'll be in Indianapolis, the AAA affiliate of the Pirates. One of their guys last night was saying they don't really have a timeline, but they're thinking at least for a couple of more starts. Well,
He's coming up early.
I think they don't want. Well, they're gonna, you know, they're controlling his clock. But also they don't want a Strasburg situation. That's not bad. Last year's draft class, not bad. Wyatt Langford already in the majors, playing well for the Rangers. We saw him at the College World Series. Skeens is going to be up shortly. Dylan Cruz, who probably has more upside, but is in Double A, is looking really, really good. I mean, that draft last year, pretty good. I mean, and all those guys, you know, majority of those guys that were at the top, that were in college, their team made it to the College World Series. So tomorrow is the NFL draft, and I'm about drafted out. So I think I already have a good idea that Chiefs are either going to trade up, they're going to get a wide receiver, they're going to get an offensive lineman. I think eight offensive tackles could possibly go in the opening round. You have the number one pick. There are two things that are really, really bugging me. This narrative of, man, I don't know if the... I think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, but you're not for sure.
Only what Ryan Poles said yesterday, too.
I like competition. I hope they keep the Nebraska quarterback competition going into the fall. Can we stop?
I like how you combine both the Bears and the Nebraska storyline.
Well, Caleb Williams is supposed to be the next Mahomes.
Yeah.
Dylan Raiola is actually Mahomes' son.
Oh, okay. I see where you went there. Yeah.
But doesn't it seem like as we get closer to the draft, and I know this happens because, you know, you... there are smoke screens out there and you run out of things to say and you've been mocking for a long time.
Can't just be mocking every day.
Doesn't it appear that we are at the point that we're tearing down Caleb Williams more than building him up?
I mean, you can be biased.
You're a Bears fan. That's you got a stadium that's going to be announced today and you got a draft pick that, I mean, could change your franchise, but a lot of tearing down of Caleb Williams over the last 48 hours.
This is what I think happens when you have a surefire number one, that as soon as we turn the page on the college football season and start talking about the NFL draft, or as soon as we turn the page on the Super Bowl, I should say, and then we start talking about the NFL draft, if you are, by just about everybody's analysis, the overall number one, and this seems to be a no-doubter, it's easy to go with the obvious of why they're in that spot, but then you start to pick at a lot of the different, well, the concerns, the questions, because of the bust rate. And I as a Bears fan, that you brought this up yesterday, being in quarterback purgatory for, well, pretty much all my life, and that's no disrespect to Jim McMahon, you even, at least from my standpoint, you try to avoid it as much as possible, because last year you had an opportunity to get a C.J. Stroud, and you wanted to give Justin Fields another role with it, which I totally understand. I don't know if anybody could have anticipated C.J. Stroud to have that type of rookie year. And then hindsight's always 20/20. You look back and think, my gosh, you could have had that. Well, they didn't want to be in a position where they felt they knew a little bit more about Justin Fields, and now that they can bring him in with a little bit more of a support system when it comes to what he has at wide receiver now with Keenan Allen, with D.J. Moore, they're reinforcing the offensive line. I think they're still going to address that with the little picks that they do have in this draft. So a lot of that makes sense. So once you do the math and it's locked in there, even though Ryan Poles said, hey, we know who we're getting, but you're going to have to tune in. Yeah, we know. Then you have, what, 2 months of just being able to look at, okay, how could this not work? As opposed to how this could work for an organization that's not just Chicago. But you got to understand, for Bears fans especially, they're all looking at this on how it won't work and how this will be another part of the very long chapter of missing on the quarterback position, whether you've had a first-round pick where you got a guy that you were absolutely positive would be a franchise guy, it hasn't worked out, or making big trades like in the Jay Cutler trade. Mm. It adds to it, I think, because it's the Chicago Bears in the history with the quarterback.
I read an article this morning that his crying on the sidelines has elicited a red flag among scouts.
Sure.
Can his arm work? There's my question.
Yep.
The NFL draft tomorrow night. And we'll figure out J.J. McCarthy. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy are two of the wild cards.
Yeah.
Well, much more on the draft, of course, tomorrow on draft day. And really, how good was Kevin Costner? First to finish the hour, before we get an update with Jimmy, here is Josh on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
So, Gary, I wanted to ask you guys, who have you been more impressed with? I mean, obviously, Skene's had a lot of the hype going in for this season, but what are your thoughts about Jaron Jones and the way he's been pitching?
Yeah, he is filthy. He is breaking some ankles in baseball with his off-speed pitch and his breaking pitches. The one thing I fear watching him, Josh, is that, man, all I can think of, he's going to be the next young star to have arm injuries.
Yeah, he throws it in there pretty hard. Plus, he hangs some meatballs over there sometimes. But I don't know. I feel pretty confident and optimistic he's going to work that out and start locating better. But no, it's surprisingly, going into the season, I thought the Pirates' bats were going to be the strength of their lineup, and they kind of froze lately. But the bullpen's looking good. Keller's off to a little bit of a rough start, so is Bednar. But, you know, when they get Malinsky back and Stratton's been looking good,
hey,
I don't know.
Well, there's optimism. I mean, I know you're a diehard Pirate fan, and you've hung in there for a while. But not only you got Jared Jones, who's off to the hot start, you got Skeens. They've really drafted well over the last 4 or 5 years, where those guys are either in the big leagues or they're about to. Really, the only guy that I'm suspect on is Davis. Of guys that were first-round draft picks over the last about 5 years.
I was pretty bullish on him going into spring. He had a big spring. Breaking balls are not his friend right now.
Oh no! I wonder if he comes back to Indianapolis.
Well, especially with the acquisition of Bart, it's looking that way. And I don't know, Gary. I know you watch it. Outside of Reynolds, right now, we don't have a steady bat in the lineup. And I'm sure that I haven't checked the stats this morning. I think Reynolds has walked 18 times this year. I think he's probably second or third in the MLB for walks. They're just pitching around him and just striking out Cruz and Sawinski. Yeah. So I got to get that figured out. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey,
I'll let you go.
Thanks, Josh. And the Pirates got some arms. So it's he's talking about Jared Jones. If you've not seen him, he's 22. He has got some filthy, filthy stuff. Almost where, and he's got a four-seam fastball. He throws it 97. But the other day, he's pitching against the Brewers, and I thought he'd killed a man because he threw a breaking pitch that basically broke off at the chin.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was from the Brewers, a left-handed hitter. I thought it, like, died. Like, he had no idea what to do. But they not only have Skeens who's pitching today, and then they have another arm and a guy named Bubba Chandler. But Josh is right. I don't have a lot of bats. I mean, when McCutcheon is one of your consistent guys, and Cutch is up there in age a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm, hey, the Pirates being good is better because we get to see more of PNC Park.
Damn right. That is one of the great ballparks.
Playoff games there.
Now they get, so Yasmani Grandal is down here on MLB rehab and he caught all nine Storm Chasers won 7-4 last night. So he caught all eight innings. You know who else is here? Jake Lamb.
Oh, really?
Remember that name with the Diamondbacks?
Yeah. God, see, this is what I miss about
those games. Smith and Jigba's brother, Jackson, his brother. That
I was
is
wondering
in the
about
Pirate
that.
System.
Like I figure, there's probably not a lot of Smith and Jigbas that are. It's not like it's Johnson or Anderson.
Common Omaha name.
Also, you guys will like this as we just turn this into Bucko Hour. Is there was a guy last night that was wearing the old Pittsburgh Pirate hat that was sitting next to their dugout.
The black with the yellow pinstripes on it? Or the lines
Chuck
that
Tanner
come down?
Hats.
Yeah, those are amazing.
And I think in unison up in the press box last night when I pointed that guy out, because I'm always curious on know, the fans that show up, like fans of that, like the Pirates.
Yeah.
And so what gear they're wearing.
Yeah.
And this guy was old school, but we all agreed in unison. When you see one of those, what are they call them the pipe.
Yeah, the piping around. It's
yeah, but it's got a name for it. Okay. That old. But the first player you think of, and almost Pops. In unison, no, we all said Kent Tekulve.
Oh, nice. Those are some great baseball people. Kent's the first name that comes up.
Oh, nobody said Roberto Clemente. Come on. Hey, real quickly on Skeens. And
I don't think Clemente, did Clemente wear that uniform?
Not those.
Or that
they
hat?
They didn't have those hats?
No,
they had
the late old, 70s into the
They
80s.
Had the old just pee. It was kind of
that
a...
That was it? I figured he
it
had
like
the...
A, it was like a wool hat.
I figured he had like the wraparound piping.
No, they were still very much close to
no
the vest.
Omar Moreno.
I always want to know how...
He ain't no Marvell Wynn.
When you see those stripes around, I want to know if does it fit like a normal hat or did it feels like it would...
Oh, it does. It
okay.
Does.
It feels like it would be a lot more like strangling the top of your skull.
I think it's called like a steamboat hat.
That sounds right.
I think that's what
it looks like. Real quickly on Skeens, though, and I don't know if this is an accurate comparison, but when I think of a guy that I watched in the College World Series that was dominant and a guy that fast-tracked his way up to the big leagues, and again, with use, and you remember he had the amazing season in 03 because this is a guy that pitched for the team that you root for so passionately in Mark Pryor. There was...
USC?
Yeah. Well... Of course, that's where he was.
Pillbox.
When you
yeah, okay. Thank you.
Watching, and this was one of the first guys that, I remember Rosenblatt, you could be up close and just be watching a guy's bullpen because the pins were right there. And his stuff was as textbook and as clean that even as a young person, I realized I knew this is going to be a guy that I'm going to hear more about as he gets to the professional level. So you're watching him. It's kind of like today with a lot of people that are going to be going to watch Paul Skeens. You watch what he does and you think, yeah, there's a lot of people that probably look good at AAA, but then once they get up to the big leagues, they have their humbling moment. And I'm sure at some point Skeens will, but there are just pitchers that you have a chance to watch that are just different. And I always say, watch the overall movement with their fastball, but then what are they doing with that off speed? Because there are just certain sliders, slurves, curves, whatever they're throwing as a complimentary breaking ball, the way that moves compared to other guys you're watching in those bullpens. And I remember watching last year Skeens when we got behind the backstop on the field level to watch his breaking ball complement with that fastball. It's just different. It's absolutely different. And to Josh or any other Pirate fan that is curious of how that will work, it's all about how they use him. It's all about how they manage him when it comes to that arm. Because as you know, Mark Pryor suffered that type of fate too and was never the same. You just look at that type of the process of bringing these guys up is vitally important. But when it comes to his stuff, I'm no scout, but it's, and you've seen it many times too, Gary, it's different. It's dominant. Yeah. It's different. And it's something that if you're at the ballpark today, just watch that and tell me, can you compare that to anything else that you're watching right now?
That's a good point. He's gonna light up the radar gun. I mean, opponents are slashing 116, 192, and 140 against him. Mm. If you're not into numbers, just nod your head and go, man, that sounds really, really good. But he throws the heater, but his swing and miss slider might be like his pitch to carry him a while in the majors. It's a little bit of a hybrid. It's a change and a sinker that he throws. I mean, he's got a pretty good repertoire. Yeah. He's a fun guy to watch. I think he'll throw about 65 to 70 pitches today. So that's going to give you about 4 innings, maybe 5 innings.
Yeah, depending on.
So there you go, kiddos.
Yep.
Have fun. They're going to be, I think I'm going to see a lot of people that are like in business casual that are taking a little bit of a break.
Lengthy lunch.
Yeah, we'll see you out there at 11.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from Jimmy here in a little bit. Frankie Fiddler will join us coming up at 9. He's already made his announcement to Michigan State. Now we're going to hear the why and whatever he'd like to share, because it's quite an interesting journey of when you go into the portal, what that is like. We say portal combat, and some kids go, well, what is this? Also, Brandon Vogel stops by, who is already on Team Hokey Pokey of Gary. Do not put one foot in, put the whole damn body in on Dylan Raiola.
And shake it all about.
Quit saying, well, this competition is going to continue into the fall, and that's a good thing because competition breeds excellence. It's over. It's over. It's done. It's over. It's over. It's done. It's over. Over, over. It's over. Not on the, it's over.
Like neighbor?
It's over. Okay, it's over. And it's okay, and go ahead and embrace it. And still love the other two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys been in a threesome. You can't love everybody at the same time.
Hey, not all of us.
You
got to
focus on one, but you got to keep your love for the other two.
That's you got to spread the ball around.
This is.
Yeah. That'd be an effective strategy.
No, you can't just go on one part. You got to spread it around.
Hey, we are talking about. You got to have consistent drives that end up in scoring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't come up short in the red zone.
Nope. Oh, that's
even, even mentality can't help you with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Run the damn ball.
Got to have confidence. Mental, just as much as it is physical.
Update with Jimmy coming up next.